Welcome to New World Notes. I am Kenneth Doust. This week we're going to present mainly music sung by American historian David Rovix. This guy knows American history much better than I do, and my only claims are that I'm older than he is and not as good looking. David was born in Connecticut, in the bedroom community of Wilton in Fairfield County. He left soon after he got his driver's license. I was born in Pennsylvania and moved to Connecticut in my 30s, 25 years ago. I'll leave it to you to decide which of us is the saner. To do that, you'll have to keep listening. Ha! Seriously, let's start off with David Rovix playing songs of historical interest to Southern New England. And trust me, that is also of historical interest to all of America. However, thanks to high school American history classes, no one in Southern New England knows anything about these great historical incidents. Shays Rebellion, John Brown and Henry Ward Beecher, both born just a few dozen miles down the road from me. Brown born in Torrington, Beecher in Litchfield. In fact, you can hear the show in Torrington on WAPJ. Thanks, guys. We'll also hear a song about Danbury, Connecticut. Used to be a city in this town. Like most cities in Connecticut, Danbury used to have factories and used to be prosperous. Could there be a connection? In Danbury, one of the leading industries was Stetson hats. Imagine the favorite cowboy hat in Texas and Oklahoma was made here in Connecticut. Who knew? Let's start out with Danbury, in the southwest corner of the little state of Connecticut. Used to be a real city. Again, who knew? Ask yourself if this sounds like any place you know.
I was young once. It was a long time ago. Things were different than I thought you should know. This old building was once a factory. We made Stetsons, your grandpa and me. It wasn't easy, but at least life was going down. There used to be a city in this town. Rusted rail yard had a hotel and a couple of stores. We had good times here between the wars. Wasn't paradise, but there was music in the street. Right there's where your grandparents first had a chance to meet. They got married in that church. I can still see her wedding gown. There used to be a city in this town. When the change came, it started one by one. First the layoffs, then the factory was gone. Then came the highways, suburbs and Walmart. That was the final blow that tore this place apart. But it seems like just last year, when there were people all around, there used to be a city in this town. Census says there's people here, but I think someone's confused. Just look out at these sidewalks, they're not being used. You know when a city dies, it doesn't die with grace. Just becomes a ruin, shouting this was once the place. I guess it's time to leave, but I don't know where I'd be bound. There used to be a city in this town. Used to be a city in this town. There used to be a city in this town. used to be a city in this town.
Now, on our New England History Show, let's move a couple dozen miles northeast to Torrington, birthplace of John Brown, and Litchfield, birthplace of Henry Ward Beecher. Beecher was a fiery Protestant preacher who was a very sincere abolitionist. That is, he did very much to try to abolish slavery in 19th century America. At the peak of his fame, he preached from a church in Brooklyn, New York. John Brown also was an abolitionist, the son of an abolitionist, and a tanner from Torrington. In the mid-19th century, Kansas Territory was being considered for statehood. But would it be a slave state or a free state? In their usual wisdom, the U.S. Congress decided to leave it to the Kansans to decide. The pro-slavery forces in Kansas went on a rampage, killing as many anti-slavery advocates as they could find. The anti-slavery forces went on a rampage, shooting back, and Kansas Territory was known nationwide as Bleeding Kansas. Torrington's own John Brown went to Kansas with a regiment of other New England abolitionists and, as they say, joined the fray, killing a certain number of slave owners and freeing a certain number of slaves. John Brown was impelled to do this not just by political science, but by his deeply held Christian beliefs. It's hard to imagine a Christian hero of the past 200 years, but many would point to John Brown. I'm ambivalent about my neighbor here. It seems to me that the difference between a Christian who shoots slaveholders, based on his religious belief, and a Christian who shoots abortion doctors, based on his religious beliefs, is, well, the difference is pretty subtle. But David Rovix is a bit less squeamish about violence than I am, and we'll soon hear his beautiful celebration of John Brown. But first, another word about the preacher, Henry Ward Beecher. Beecher thought you just couldn't reason with the pro-slavery types. He said, "You might as well preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to a herd of buffaloes as to these pro-slavery critters." But the one thing the slavers do understand is the logic of a Sharp's rifle. Reverend Beecher raised, I guess, thousands of dollars in funds to buy rifles to be given to the anti-slavery forces in Kansas and Nebraska territories. The rifles were shipped west in boxes marked Contents, Bibles. In the chorus of David Rovick's song, there's a reference to John Brown riding across the Kansas prairie, Beecher's Bible in his hand. What they called Beecher's Bible was not a book, but a Sharp's rifle. Indeed, one of the finest rifles one could buy in the mid-19th century. John Brown also carried a King James Bible, but Beecher's Bible was a fine breech-loading rifle. Interestingly enough, Henry Ward Beecher was done in by his enemies by a sex scandal. Like Thomas Parnell and Elliot Spitzer, I won't dignify that son of gun Clinton by mentioning his name here. Anyway, certain parts of Beecher's body had come in contact with certain parts of somebody else's body without an appropriate legal contract. Beecher's elder sister, Harriet Beecher Stowe, author of Uncle Tom's Cabin, lived just a few miles from me in Hartford, right across a broad lawn from Mark Twain. And next time you're in town, you can visit both their houses. But for now, let's hear more of Connecticut's own John Brown and Beecher's Bibles, sung by another of our own, Wilton's greatest singer-songwriter, David Rovix.
Owen Brown was an abolitionist. John was Owen's son. He grew up in New England. He was born in Torrington. John Brown was a tanner and a man of many skills. he stood up for the workers who toiled in the mills. He stood up for the Indians. He stood up for the women, for the oppressed and the exploited. This good man stood with them. So when Kansas was bleeding, he went and joined the fray. If the slave trade wanted Kansas, the slave trade would have to pay. Riding on the Kansas prairie with a fine and loyal band. Glory, hallelujah, Beecher's Bible in his hand. Glory, hallelujah, Beecher's Bible in his hand. With 2,000 of New England's best and bravest sons, Captain Brown fought in Kansas with a Bible and a gun. When Free Lawrence was on fire, lighting up the night, the border ruffians would flee. John Brown would stand and fight. Lincoln called him a fanatic, and he was a Christian who thought you could do unto others as you'd have others do unto you. Christ said, love your neighbor, and if your neighbor's held in slavery, he was one who felt his duty was to fight to set them free. Riding on the Kansas prairie with a fine and loyal band. Glory, hallelujah, Beecher's Bible in his. Bible in his hand. Drove the slave trade out of Kansas, then went to bordering Missouri. Raided the plantations, no compromise, said he. Broke the chains and shackles, rode at night to Canada. Out of this nightmare, the devil's home, America. He was caught in Harper's Ferry, his family lying dead. They questioned him for hours as he lay there and bled. They hanged him on the gallows. They laid him in his grave. John Brown was a Christian, and he died to free the slaves. Riding on the Kansas prairie with a fine and loyal band. Glory, hallelujah, Beecher's Bible in his hand. Glory, hallelujah, Beecher's Bible in his hand.
A final bit of New England history before we move on to concerns elsewhere. During the Revolutionary War, most Americans of European ancestry were small farmers or farmhands. Many of them fought in the war for the rebellious colonies, and when they returned, the farmers found the local bankers, pressed by the European bankers, were foreclosing on their farms. Farmhand and veteran Daniel Shays and a few thousand others rebelled in 1786. The rebellion centered in southwestern Massachusetts, including the city of Springfield, which held a government armory. The Springfield Armory is an interesting site, by the way, and now open to the public as a national museum. The rebels were mostly veterans of the Continental Army. Their rebellion brought wealthy slaveholder George Washington out of retirement and probably influenced the powers that be to scrap the Articles of Confederation and bring in our current Constitution, including the Bill of Rights in 1789. Here's David Robick's more poetic account of same, which is entitled Berkshire Hills.
I was raised in Massachusetts on the farm where I was born. Ever since I was a young lad, to the fields I was sworn. Before our corn could go to market, it was stolen from the mill and sent to Mother England from here in the Berkshire Hills. So when I heard there'd be a rising, I put on a uniform. Slept barefoot in the mud beneath thunderstorms. In war there is no glory, just friends and comrades killed, shattered lives and broken homes here in the Berkshire Hills. In the Continental Army, the years dragged on and on. With the French we fought the redcoats, so many people dead and gone. Ticonderoga, they surrendered, we had won this test of wills. And those of us left alive came back here to the Berkshire Hills. Then began the nightmare all over once again. Revolutions, debtors' prisons, filled with good, upstanding men. We said to hell with King John Adams. Of this farce we'd had our fill, and we set our sights on liberty here in the Berkshire Hills. Function, their judges on the run. Each new day we had our farms was a victory we'd won. For years we kept our land, held our ground until we made our last stand by Great Barrington here in the Berkshire Hills. My name is Danielle Shays, and I'm speaking to you now. If I fought a revolution, maybe you can tell me how. I was born a poor man, and I'm a poor man still. Bury me beneath the hemlock here in the Berkshire Hills.
David Robicks has a great business motto, Songs of Social Significance. He also has a great business model. All his songs are available for as little as free on the internet. Go to www.soundclick.com and if you browse around a bit, you'll find his archive. Or get a direct link to the archive from our own website, newworldnotes.blogspot.com. David Rovics's new album is called The Big Red Sessions, and you can download this for any contribution from $0 upwards. Big Red includes the version of John Brown we heard a few minutes ago, and a tip of my hat to the keyboardist on that one. That little glissando just before the last chorus, followed by those glorious-sounding chords, was subtle, but well done indeed.
John Brown was a Christian, and he died to free the slaves. Riding on the Kansas Prairie, where they fine and loyal men. Glory, hallelujah. Beecher's Bible.
Well, we heard songs about urban decay, armed rebellion, and another armed rebellion. How about an unarmed rebellion for a change? The first of the great rebellions by the Arab people in 2011. It's called Tunisia 2011, also from the Big Red Sessions. Yes, the Arabs are revolting, at long last, and they're putting us Americans to shame. Though we did at least stand up on our hind legs and squeak a little bit in Wisconsin a month or so ago. I'll just end with the wish that may Allah, who goes by several other names as well, John Brown probably called him Jehovah, may Allah bless the long-suffering people of Egypt and Libya and Palestine and several other countries, not least of which would be Tunisia. Thanks for putting up with our little history lessons. Here's David Rovics.
Muhammad had a vegetable stand. This was his family's plight. Ever since his father died on a construction site. He was one of six siblings. Now this would be his fate. Working the streets of the city to put food on everybody's plate. Couldn't afford the bribes. Cops wouldn't make him pay. So sometimes they'd knock his cart over, get him back that way. Last December they smashed his scales, put him in his place. Then for good measure, cops spat Muhammad's face. Went to see the governor. Maybe there was something he could do. Word came from on high. We don't talk to people like you. Muhammad Bouazizi. Now was living on a wire. Bought some paint thinner and he set himself on fire. Word spread through the region, soon you'd hear it same. Proud and desperate people going up in flame. Sometimes windows open, sometimes the floor it creaks. But no one knew what would happen in only a few weeks. When the dictator ran away, the dictator ran away. Tried to hold a march for the immolated dead. Police met them there with truncheons, bullets to the head. People headed to the Capitol. They would not be deterred. Sometimes this is just what happens to a dream deferred. The police kept up the attack. Thousands wounded, hundreds killed. With blood the streets were covered. With gas the air was filled. But the people held their One day the cops had had enough to just put down their guns when the dictator ran away.
The dictator.